Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll be looking at verses 25 through 31, and I want us just to think about, and the title of this message today will be called the role, the Father's role. And so just thinking about that, I'm sure that we might all have our traditions on how we celebrate Father's Day, whether it'll be with meals or different ways of doing that. And as I said before, I always think about my dad on this day, and I should, because of my Heavenly Father. You know, he's with my Heavenly Father. I look forward to that homecoming one day. But as Paul is teaching in this practical part, the first three theological, the last three is of Ephesians, is the practical side of holy living and how things should look and what it should look like when we're sold out to God. I was just thinking about the different roles that we have as men, and those roles God has given us. He's called us to be the leaders of our home. He's called us to be the husbands to our wives that we be focused on. And He calls us also to be fathers, and there are many different things. I can be a fixer. I need to fix things. I train people to ride bikes. I run beside of them. I moved my son yesterday. I've moved my kids every time they've moved, and I believe I'm up to about 15 different moves. And so you're a mover, and so one of those things. I'm still tired. I can still feel that in me. But listen, our roles as a father, and I want us to know something today that I've learned. I'm not a what would Forrest say? I know I'm not a smart man. But God has taught me some things, all right? He has taught me some things that I've learned that the woman, I'm glad she's out of here, so I won't get tore up, right? This woman that He's given me, we'll soon celebrate 27 years of marriage, that the greatest thing that I could give my children was my love for that woman. When they saw me loving her the way that I was supposed to, I noticed it brought security to them. It brought a sense of that stability in the home. I realize a lot of that is missing in our homes today, and I know that Satan has attacked that. But I want you to know something, Dads, today. One of the greatest things that you can give your kid, your children, as they grow up, don't matter how old they are either. You can't say, well, they're grown up. No. Is for you to love their mother. And so I want us to think about that role today as we're getting ready to start. I heard the story one time about Winston Churchill, and he was at a dinner guest. They had a big dinner meeting, and the great statesman that he was, and they were going around the table, and all they were asking was, if you could be anybody, who would you want to be? And so they were wondering, what's he going to say? You know, is he going to... Napoleon? And what's he going to say? He was such a great leader of Britain and England. And so he was the last one to go. His wife's name was Clementine. And they were asked, they said, well, who would you be? Or if you could be anybody, who would you be? And he stopped for a minute. He said, I would be Mrs. Churchill's second husband. And I thought, what a great answer, right? If he could be anybody else. And I hope that we find our worth in our marriages, in our mates, and we can see the calling that God has called us to there. I've often said that men strive many times for excellence in their job, in their careers, in their hobbies, in everything that we do. Do we strive for excellence in our marriage? Does God's giving you that lady, that woman beside of you? And Father's today, it might be a little different Father's Day challenge. But I want you to know something. God ordained it from the very beginning that we'll see in these scriptures. From the very beginning in the garden that He'll speak about a man leaving a man and a woman leaving their father and mother and being clung to each other and two becoming one. And we'll see that God ordained these things. And so let's go to the scripture. Let's go to reading God's Word. I hope you have a Bible with you, whether it's electronically. There's one in the seat back and forth in front of you always. Why is it so important? You hold me accountable to what I'm preaching to you, that I'm not preaching you my opinions. I'm not giving you stories out of the newspaper, but I'm preaching you thus says the Word of God, and it's your responsibility as a congregation to hold me to that. And so you take the Word of God and you open it and you follow these words so that you know that I'm preaching you God's Word, and a man that doesn't preach that from here should not be here. Can I get an amen? Stand to your feet if you would. Ephesians Ephesians chapter 5, we'll be looking at verse 25 is where we're starting. The Word of God says this, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the Word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to the wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Lord, we pray in Jesus' name forever, O Lord. Thy word is settled in heaven. I pray, speak to us, challenge us as fathers and husbands today for your glory. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, you may be seated. So I want us to think about, as he's emphasizing these duties, these things that a husband is supposed to do or a father, you say, why are we talking about husbands? Guess what? You got to be a husband before you're a father, or should be. Something's out of whack if you're not. God ordained marriage from the very beginning between a man and a woman. And he meant for them to be married and for them to come together and have children. And I want you to know on this Father's Day that one of your greatest roles, if not the greatest other than your relationship with Jesus Christ, is your relationship to your wife. And so as we're looking at this husband and the love that he's called for in God's Word in Ephesians, I want us to think about what this love, what manner of love is it that these husbands are called to be towards their wife. Look at verse 25. First, it's sacrificial love. Sacrificial love. What does it say? Husbands, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and did what? And gave himself for her. In the context of this letter, this command would be a slap in the face. Why? Marriage was not set at a high precedence in Paul's time frame in Ephesus. You say, what do you think? Well, a wife was only looked at for childbearing. They had concubines, mistresses. They had all these things. They didn't communicate with one another. It was not held at a high standard. Guess what? You're living in that world today. Outside in the world, should never be in the church. It's the same way. It's looked upon as what? How is a marriage looked upon? Why do we get married? For somebody to fulfill our needs? If this person, you hear about it all the time, and it's Hollywood love that's infiltrated how we're supposed to love each other. We're looking for the perfect mate, somebody that will compliment us, somebody that will make us happy. What happened to being that person and what the Scripture is calling us to be? And when we see this, we see that Paul is calling for a radical blow to the ethics of marriage in his day. The Scripture is calling that to us today. By the way, 2018. You look around and you tell me of a greater battle that they are in this country today than the family. Everything is focused upon the family and tearing it apart. And God, and I'm going to tell you what, God ordained it and Satan's trying his best to tear it apart and mess it up. Why would that be? If you break the family up, you've broken the whole society and that which foundation which God created for it to rest upon. That's why it's being attacked. That's why we as God's people need to understand, especially as men, where we are as God has called us to be his spiritual leaders. What's he called us to be? He's called us to sacrificial love. But because we have, I want you to know when we hear this, when we hear husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself, what did Christ do? He loved the church this month. He said, husband, love your wife this much. Sacrificial love. It cannot happen in your human flesh. It only comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Young girls, hear me right now, please. Listen to me. One day as you're looking for a husband, do not settle for anything less than a God-man. Can I hear amen from somebody? Do not settle for what the world has to offer, of what says a good man or he looks so good. He can look so good and be of the devil. Can anybody say amen? In fact, it says that the devil masquerades as a child or an angel of light. He knows how to look the best. Oh, he's the best looking thing. Don't you settle for nothing less than a God man, a Jesus man. Do you understand me? He will never love you. And if you'll listen, you'll understand. He will never love you like you want to be or desire to be loved if he doesn't love Jesus first. Can I please get a... Hold on a minute. Dear God, that's good preaching to have a preacher. Amen. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. Don't settle for less, young girls. God, a God-man will love you the way that this scripture calls for you to. It's the only way he can do you that way. By the way, there's no way that you can love somebody that sacrificial love without the love of Christ in you. There's no way. No possible way. And so, it's calling for this. The husband who submits to the Lord is able to love his wife the way Christ has called him to love. The Lord's pattern of love for the church, he says, look at the husband. Look at the husband and wife. Is that not an amazing thing that he uses the relationship of a husband and wife to say, this is my relationship to my bride, my church? And so we should exemplify that love and that we should be that pattern to the world of what the love of Christ looks like. And it says, husbands, fathers, what did he do? First thing we see, he gave himself for her. Let's be honest. This is a body blow in our culture today and even in our church many times. Because what you know, that person that you married is supposed to be meeting your needs. It's supposed to be making you. She's supposed to be complimenting you. You're not complimenting her. She's supposed to come alongside you. Please give me scriptures and verse for that to where she's supposed to be the one bearing all that. In fact, I see this as sacrificial love, that you're the one to be showing her Christ, teaching her Christ, raising her up, and we'll see in the ways of Christ, being that leader that he's called you to be. How do we give sacrificially? I love that you asked me that. Listen to this. Four ways. First, die to self. As men, we're called to be protectors. I don't know about that, but you know that. We're the protectors. You don't mess with my woman. You don't mess with my kids. I'm pretty mild-mannered, but you go to messing with something like that, and I'm like, man, I'll show you something. Really. We don't want, we're protectors. God's called us that. That's our role. And many of us, if we were asked to lay our life down for our wife or our children, would probably do that because that's what we feel like. That's one of the things that God's given us to do. But and we should be lifting her up, and we shouldn't be selfish or trying to rob my family of what I want to do all the time. But I'm to be this leader, and so here's the thing: my greatest enemy many times is not outside the house. Hello, who is my greatest enemy? It's me. I'm to die to self sacrificially. In fact, the scripture says if any man should come after me, he must what? Deny himself. Carry that cross. I'm supposed to sacrifice myself every day. And so I die to self. What does that mean? I'm not selfish. I don't rob my family over what I want to do, but I'm living out this passage, and how am I living it out? Oh, get ready. I'm going to meddle. What about what she likes to do? I'll tell you what, those shopping trips, sometimes I would dread or somebody drag me behind a truck out here on a gravel road, then go shopping. Why? This is how a man shops, okay? Everybody ready? Most time you pull up to the no parking plate in the zone, the fire zone. You put that thing in park and leave it running, and you run in there, and you get exactly what you were going to get, right? And you come on out, and you get back in the car, and you go home. Whoa. 2 minutes. In fact, you're timing it. You got the timer. I think I can do this in less than 2 minutes this time. She's not built like that. Okay? Shopping is called shopping because you might not even be going to get anything. You're just looking. I'm on racks of clothes. Look. And they're the same size and some color, same color sometimes. And it's just... It's all right, though, guys, because listen to me. It's not all about you this morning. We're hearing this. It's not all about you, but it's about her. Does self serve the one it loves? We don't have no problem serving ourselves, do we? We die to self. We serve. We need. I'm going to tell you something. We have heroes out on the battlefield. We have heroes, our sports fan. We need some domestic heroes. We need some men, God men, that stand up and say, this is the way it's supposed to be done. This is a Christ. This is a God man. And you give him the glory. You love your wife as Christ loved his church. We die to self. But not only that, hey, praise and prayer. The other one might have been easy for some of you. When's the last time you praised her and said, thank you? Look at the things that she does. You take it for granted many times. You just listen. If she's taking care of you and the kids, you ought to tell her, thank you. Thank you. Praise God for you. Give her praise. And we should pray for her. Praise and prayer. That should be at the top of my list. Praying for my wife. Praying for her as she goes about her day. Putting her first, lifting her up. Let me ask you this. When's the last time you told her she looked good? You're looking good, baby. Woo, you're looking good. Is that something new you got on today? I don't mean making it up. I mean looking and praising the woman that God's brought into your life. Don't take that for granted. Don't take that granted. Why? She thrives off of that. She wants to look good for you, okay? And when she's cleaning herself up, listen, you ought to say, you're looking good today, honey. Did you do that whenever you, that's it. Did you do that when you were dating her? And don't quit when you get married, okay? In fact, we should tell her, we should praise her, we should lift her up. And then not only that, dying to self, praise and prayer, but caring. What is he talking about? Being attentive. Now, we have struggled with this. And we just let the culture dictate, well, we're guys. You know, we don't do this, and this is how we do that. Listen, when I read my scripture, it's not dictated by the world or the culture. It's dictated by, thus says the Word of God. And so you don't have an excuse. Well, I didn't ever have it modeled for me that way. Guess what? I didn't either. That's no excuse. In fact, if you want to use that model, you get drunk and beat on somebody all the time. Is that what you want to do? Is that what your excuse is, the world and the Freudianism, the psychobabble that he gives us, says you can blame everything on your past? My word says, hey, you don't blame it on the past. In Christ, you can do everything in the future, in Jesus' name. It affects us, yes, but that's no excuse to mistreat and be wrong. We should be caring, sensitive to the needs of our wife. We care by listening to the hurts and concerns. Listen. That's difficult for us sometimes, isn't it? Just listen. She has hurts. She has concerns. She's married to you. She's married to you, okay? She needs to unload sometime. We find joy in seeing her happy and fulfilled in the Lord. We see joy in her fulfillment and seeing her grow in the Lord. We're caring and attentive. And last is faithful. You say, Christ is forever faithful to us. Think about this. One day when we get into heaven and we walk into the faith, and he's going to stand up for us, stand faithful for us for what he's done and how he died on the cross and rose again and gave us his Holy Spirit. He will stand forever. He sits at the right hand of the Father right now making intercession for us. And one day when we get to heaven, he will be there because of what he's done. He's forever faithful, and so we should be this way, that we're only going to be there because of him. And I'm talking about fidelity. I'm talking about men that are just faithful to their wife, or a one-woman man. Faithful to their wife and fidelity. That brings security to your home. When the children experience this kind of love and they see these things, they see that a man is faithful to his wife, it brings that security. So we should have a dying love, a praying love, a caring love, and a faithful love. So that's the sacrificial love. Next, look, sanctifying love, verses 26 through 27. It says that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should only be holy and without blemish. So this sanctifying love is a purifying love. This divine love does not simply condemn wrongs, but it loves and it seeks out in love to help to cleanse her from those things, to help her grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Love wants only the best for the one that it loves. Think about he will continually seek to help purify her from any sort of defilement. Why? He's the spiritual leader of the home. Listen, guys, everybody hearing? I'm going to get you again. If it's your wife that has to make you get up and go to church, you're unbiblical. You hear that? That's sinning against what God has called you to do. You are the spiritual leader of the home. You should be leading up front. You say, well, hey, if you need work, we all do. Keep growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. We're none of us here. None of us getting there. In fact, this is a constant work. It's an ongoing thing. None of us ever arrive. But there's no excuse for that. We should be the spiritual leaders of our home. Why is that, Pastor Dave? Because one day I'm going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. She's not going to stand and give an account of what the leadership in the home was. Why? He called me to be the leader. I will give an account for my home, my wife, and my kids because God has called me to that. Now, that's something to take serious. You might not take it too serious right now, but you will that day. And so we should be serious about these things. Think about the amount. He says that we should have this understanding of purity and the amount of time that you spend in your word or cultivating your own relationship in Christ, and that it should spill over, and that we should have, the husband should cultivate this purity and righteousness and sanctity in their wives. We should be that spiritual catalyst of our home, spirit-filled men leading spirit-filled women. I should manifest the fruit of the Spirit. I want to ask myself, is my wife more Christ-like because of me or in spite of me? Is my wife more Christ-like because of me or in spite of me? It's a great question to ask. Or how about this? Was my wife more Christ-like before I married her? And I drug her down instead of pulling her up. The Scripture tells me to have a sanctifying love. Just as I like Christ cleanses, and the truth of the analogy is that saving grace makes believers holy through the cleansing agency of the water of the Word of God, so that he may be presented to Christ or these people, his followers, as his pure bride forever to dwell in his love. And he said that's the kind of love you should have. Sanctify her through living the Word, being the Word to her, letting her see the Word in you. So we have this idea of sanctifying love. Sacrificial love, sanctifying love, and last, self-love. You say, what are you talking about? Hold on. Verses 28 through 31. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. For this reason, he said, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. These verses are saying to love your wife as you love yourself. Why? Because we're one flesh. Because we're the same. And he said that we love each other to say our call is that this extent of loving them as we do, we take care of ourselves. We don't have any problem getting up in the mornings. I hope that we all took a shower this morning, got ready, washed and cleansed, and maybe even cleaned and washed your hair a little bit, probably because she told you to, but that's all right. But listen, you got ready to go, you put deodorant on, all these things, you take care of yourself. It's saying love her in that way. Take care of herself. Don't mess with her hair. Now, I'm not saying that, okay? Get in trouble with that. The hair's looking good, leave it alone. No, I'm just talking about taking care of her like you take care of yourself. And think about the amount of money that we spend on ourselves, on our body, on clothes, on decorate, protect, or enhance, or to cut, or to display our bodies. We spend a tremendous amount of money on that. And he's saying, hey, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we should take care of them. We should be healthy. But he's saying, hey, love her the same way that you love yourself and take care of yourself. Husbands are called to have the same care and concern which we meet, that we meet our same needs to our own bodies as we do to our wives. A husband who loves his wife as Christ loves the church will no more do anything to harm her than he would to harm himself. And that's what the Scripture is calling for. He desires to nourish her, to help her. A husband who loves his wife will be courteous. There is a word Let's think about that a minute. Courteous. How can we be courteous to our wives? There's nothing wrong with opening the door for her. Can I get amen? Do I need to sit back down and do it again? I will. What's wrong with opening the door for the woman that you love? What's wrong with carrying a, I can't stand to see women carrying something heavy. God gave you, made you stronger than her. Carry the heavy loads, guys. How about if you're sitting down and you're in a chair and she walks into the room, you get up and you give her your chair. Why? You're called to that, to be courteous to her, to love her like you would yourself. And that's what it's talking about. Have we lost chivalry? Is that something of the past? It's not chivalry, it's biblical, okay? We want to put names on it. It's just being biblical and loving her and treating her with courtesy. A husband who loves his wife will be courteous, and you know what he'll do? Get ready. This is the one that's going to hurt. He'll communicate with her. Oh, my goodness. Here it is. Come in. You come in from work. Sit down here. How was your day? All right. Well, what happened at work? Nothing. Same old stuff. She's dying to hear about your day. And you know what you're giving her? Just a little tidbit. Just enough to make her absolutely aggravated and mad at you. Now, if you'd have said, how about them heels? Hey, let's talk about that. Look. I'm serious. Our communication, we say, well, we're men, we just stay on surface level. We don't want to get a hold of our feelings and none of that. That's not right. She needs to know that you care about her and love her, and she needs more than just what's happening on the ball game, okay, or what you're doing, your next hobby, or what you're going to do. She needs more than that. She does, okay? Any women say amen? And so we communicate. We're courteous, and we communicate. We have simple communication. I'm going to tell you what. Some women right here in this church probably dying for their husbands to act like they care about them and love them. And not just work them and see them as another farmhand, okay? Just to love them and care about them. Why? God brought them into your life for a purpose, all right? Proverbs 24:26 says, he who gives a right answer kisses the lips. Marriage is an act of love, okay? The longer I'm married, the more I appreciate this woman right here. Why? Because I know she has to put up with a lot. Can anybody say amen? If you were married to me, you'd have to put up with a lot. I have great highs and I have great lows. I'm about bipolar a lot of times, right? And she has to suffer with that, okay? She has to be that one. God puts opposites together. And she is the opposite antithesis of me as far as the way he made her. But I want you to know this. The longer that we're together, the more that we become alike. You say, what are you talking about? It's an amazing thing. I'm not talking about looking alike physically, but she knows the things I like and dislike, and I know the things she likes. And so we stay away from it, and we end up doing the same things that we like all the time. The more that we're together, the more that we grow, and the more that we're alike. She's becoming, listen, I don't have any problem telling you, she's my best friend. If I need to talk to somebody, I don't have to call somebody up on the phone. I can go to her. She's my best friend. She's that which sticks with me through life and death. She's there when I'm having a great day. She's there when I'm having a bad day. She's there when you're having great days and bad days. Do you not think, people that you love, that we don't go through the hurts that you go through together? What kind of preacher or preacher's wife would you have that wouldn't care? Is that what kind you want to have? Life can be very tough and hard when you love people and care. And you know what? She bears a lot of that too. Goodness sake, she's got a crown as big as this room in there. Why? She's married to me. Jesus said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Dear Lord, you had to be married to that man I gave you. And as we finish up, look at the divine order. It was God ordained when he quotes Genesis 2. 24 and verse 31 when it says, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. From the very beginning of time, the first thing that was established, God created it all, and he established man and woman and established marriage. And the only reason you're a father today is because he gave you that wife. He gave you that person to love. Men, It's time for us to break out of the mold of the culture and be biblical men, God men, that shows a world that we love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave and leads sacrificial, sanctifying, and us loving her as we love ourselves. Linda, come and play, and we'll do our applications. Number one, do you love your wife sacrificially? That's just a biblical question. Do you love her sacrificially? Because we just read, as Christ loved the church. Do you love her that way? Number two, will you commit to be that which God has called you to be? Will you commit to that person? Will you commit to being? You say, you know what? I'm not there, but I'm working on it. Lord, I realize that through your word, not just from some preacher, but reading your word, that I'm falling pretty way short. But you know what? It's not to condemn. It's for us to be pulled up. Not for us to be beat down, but to say, you know what? I need to just take out a moment and say, thank you, Lord, for that woman that you've given me. Thank you, Lord. Number three. Be the man that the Lord is, that can use in your home and in your community. Be that man, no matter where you're at. At home, out in the community, you're the same. You're the same way you are on Sunday morning as you will be on Monday morning. There's no difference in what you look and how you speak or what you say. And when you're in the workforce, when you're doing your job, it's of integrity. People know when you say that, you're going to do it. What about it, men? Stand your feet. I want all the guys to come around. Come around and pray. Find you a place. We'll finish up right here around the altar. I'm talking about men, even if you're not married, one day you will be. Ask God to be, make you that man that He's called you to be. To be the God man that a woman can look at and see Christ in you, the hope of glory. Ladies, look around. Ain't many churches that is empties out when the men come forward. Be blessed. Be blessed. Let's pray. Father, you see this great group of men around this altar today. And this is a glory unto you. Some of them hurting. Some of them in situations that you know exactly. Some of them are just desires to have that walk with you, that has that Christ-like attitude in their homes. I pray for each and every one of them right here. God, I pray that they'll be thankful for the woman that you've given them. I pray that you'll be thankful for the kids, and Lord, no matter what the situation, they'll pray to be God men. God, that they'll be the men that Christ has called them to be. You'll keep them close and clean unto you. They'll be sacrificially loved. They'll sanctify in love. They'll be this self-love, that same love that they love herself. And God, that you'll use them mightily. I pray for these young men that don't have wives yet, that you'll bring them godly wives, that they'll be the godly men that you called them to be to their wives in the future. God, I pray most of all that you'll raise up men that'll live biblical. That'll live that love and not worry about what the world thinks, but what Christ thinks. Let them represent Christ in their homes, on their job, everywhere they are. And God, I promise you, we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for it all, because we ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Listen, we're going to make our way up to the river as these men are going back. Going to make our way up to the river, up to Charles Narson. If you don't know where it's at, just follow somebody. You'll see. And we're going to baptize a couple of the river. If you listen, no services tonight, so don't be in a hurry. But come up and be a part of that. If your dad's alive, make sure and tell him. I don't care what situation, make sure and tell him Happy Father's Day, all right? Because you won't always have that opportunity. But we're going to get Lee closes in prayer, and we'll head up to the river.